Part 15, The Bab and Baha'u'llah, The Dawn and the Sun. Baha'u'llah himself had chosen the site where the shrine of the Bab was to be built. His tent had been pitched on the side of Mount Carmel, and while seated near a clump of cypress trees, which still stand as sentinels, he had pointed out the exact spot. It was Baha'u'llah who gave to Abdu'l-Bahá the task of raising that noble structure and arranging for that sacred dust to be brought from Persia. Now the time had come when Abdu'l-Bahá's arduous labor was reaching an end. All the sorrows, hardships, and suffering were forgotten. The blessed Bab, who was the return of Elijah, would be laid to rest for all time within sight of the famous Cave of Elijah on Mount Carmel. It was in 1909 that Lua was privileged to receive a letter from the Holy Land announcing the good news of the final entombment of those sacred remains in the bosom of the Holy Hill. Lua and all the Baha'is in the West were deeply affected when they received a description of the moving events that took place on that occasion. Oh, what a glorious moment it was. And in that moment, the closeness between the East, the West, and the heart of the Baha'i faith in the Holy Land was strikingly demonstrated, as we shall see. In order that we may fully appreciate the significance of this achievement and experience with Lua, the joy that surrounded her when she heard the news, we shall review briefly some of the events that led up to this victory. Lua herself had no doubt heard these stories many times from the lips of the Master and her fellow pilgrims from Persia. The Bab frequently told his followers that he himself was merely the channel of grace from some great person still behind the veil of glory, Baha. It was the Bab's wish that he should never be separated from Baha'u'llah in life or in death. In the early days of his ministry, the Bab journeyed towards Tehran, the capital of Iran and the birthplace of Baha'u'llah. Tehran had been described in the Baha'i writings as the mother of the world. The Bab visited a nearby sacred shrine. While in that neighborhood, he revealed a tablet, which he instructed his followers to chant there. The love which the Bab had for Baha'u'llah is evident in the words which he addressed to that buried saint. Well it is with you to have found your resting place under the shadow of my beloved. Would that I might be entombed within the precincts of that holy ground. Following his martyrdom, the remains of the Bab, which had been cast into a moat outside the city of Tabriz, were rescued by his followers, brought to Tehran, and for a time were entombed in that very shrine within the shadow of Baha'u'llah. They were transferred from place to place, from danger to safety, under the direction of Baha'u'llah for nearly 50 years, until they reached the Holy Land, where for all time the holy dust of the Bab would rest under the shadow of his beloved. Now, Bill, the historian of those early days, enriches our understanding of the significance of the entombment of the remains of the Bab on Mount Carmel by pointing to the unique love that had bound the Bab and Baha'u'llah together since the earliest days of the Baha'i faith. Baha'u'llah, Nabil tells us, had such a love for the Bab that he would not let him suffer any pain, indignity or humiliation in which he, Baha'u'llah, did not share. The Bab was first confined in the house of the chief constable of Shiraz in Persia. Shortly after this, Baha'u'llah was confined in the house of one of the religious leaders in Tehran. The Bab's second imprisonment was in the castle of Mahku. That of Baha'u'llah followed when he was imprisoned in the residence of the governor of Amul. The Bab was scourged in the prayer house in Tabriz. The very same punishment was inflicted shortly upon this Baha'u'llah in the prayer house at Amul. The Bab's third imprisonment was in the castle of Shiri, that of Baha'u'llah in the Black Pit prison of Tehran. The Bab was struck in the face with missiles when paraded through the streets of Tabriz, beaten, ridiculed, and humiliated. Baha'u'llah was pelted with stones in the streets of Amul, again in Nayala, still again while paraded in chains, bareheaded and barefooted, in the blazing sun en route to the Siyashal prison. He was beaten, ridiculed, humiliated, and cast into a deep underground pit, his feet in stocks. He was weighted down with 100-pound chains that tore his flesh. He was chained to the floor and to his companions in that black darkness. The Bab was slain in the public square of Tabriz. Baha'u'llah began a half century of persecution as a prisoner and an exile. He was poisoned in the Black Pit prison. He was set upon by assassins in Baghdad. He was poisoned twice again in Adrianople. He was arrested and interrogated by soldiers on two separate occasions and shut up in the fortress prison of Akka, the most dreaded prison in all the Turkish Empire. Nabil recounts in his history, the Bab, whose trials and sufferings had preceded in almost every case those of Baha'u'llah, had offered himself to ransom his beloved Baha'u'llah from the perils that beset that precious life. While Baha'u'llah, on his part, unwilling that he was so greatly loved, him should be the sole sufferer, shared at every turn the cup that had touched the Bab's lips. Such love no eye had ever beheld, nor has mortal heart conceived such mutual devotion. If the branches of every tree were turned into pens and all the seas into ink and earth and heaven rolled into one parchment, the immensity of that love would still remain unexplored and the depths of that devotion unfathomed. There is yet another example of this unique oneness that bound together the Bab and Baha'u'llah. It can be found by examining the calendar of Persia. According to the 365-day solar calendar of the West, in which the days of the month never change. The Bab was born on October 20th, and Baha'u'llah was born November 12th. But according to the 360-day lunar calendar in the land of their birth, in which the days of the month change each year, the Bab was born on the first day of Muharram, and Baha'u'llah on the second day of Muharram. One after the other, first the Bab, then Baha'u'llah. In Persia, these twin successive holy days are celebrated as one great joyous festival. Thus, in every way, their missions were bound together for all eternity. Now even their sacred remains were united forever in the Holy Land, and the promises in all the Holy Scriptures were at last fulfilled. The wish of the Bab, whose name means the gate, had come true at last. He would rest forever in the shadow of his beloved. Today, his golden-domed shrine looks across the blue bay of Haifa toward Akka, Baji, where Baha'u'llah, whose name means the glory of God, lies enshrined in a garden that has made the desert blossom as the rose. The glory of God, Baha'u'llah, had come to the Holy Land from the east through the gate, the Bab, as foretold by Ezekiel. That glorious kingdom of God on earth, promised by Christ, would through them become a reality. The Bab and Baha'u'llah were together at last in that snow-white spot, the nest of all the prophets of God. They represented the return of Elijah and Christ to Christianity, Messiah ben Joseph and Messiah ben Israel to Judaism, the Mahdi and Jesus the Christ to Sunni Islam, the Qa'im and the Imam Hussein to Shia Islam, Ushida Ma and the Shah Bahram to Zoroastrianism. They were the first and second trumpet blasts of the Quran, the second woe and the third of the Book of Revelation, the dawn and the sun of the new day. When we realize who the Bab and Baha'u'llah were, we no longer wonder at the devotion, sacrifice and zeal of such heroines as Lua. We only marvel that thousands upon thousands more all over the world have not risen up to carry on her noble work. Lua had the eyes to see and the ears to hear. She was taught by Abdu'l-Bahá himself. She was set ablaze by the knowledge that once again God had made himself known to man, and that this time not one but two messengers of God had walked on the face of the earth. This heavenly knowledge inspired her to travel, to pioneer, to teach, to accomplish such deeds as would win her the titles of Immortal and Herald and Banner of the Baha'i Faith. Lua was impatient to follow in the footsteps of the Bab, Baha'u'llah, and her beloved Master.